Okay, this coming Shabbos, we're going to have the honor and privilege of reading Parshas Chayei Sarah. And of course, the Parsha begins, Vayu Chayei Sarah Me'ah Shana Ve'esrim Shana V'sheva Shanim. The Tzara Imenu was, years were 100 years and 20 years and 7 years. And Rashi famously notes that the language is strange. It should have just said she was 127 years. Why do we separate? And Rashi comments, Baskov Kibaskov Baskov Kibasayin. To which Rashi adds that for as far as being beautiful, she was like a 7-year-old, even when she was 127 years old. Now, what does the Torah want us to pay attention to how Sarah appeared physically? And why is that important? And why are we interested in knowing that she was like a 7-year-old? It seems sort of odd. So Rav Zadel Epstein Zatzal commented that if you look, a 7-year-old doesn't focus on her natural beauty. She covers it when she goes out to play. Her beauty gets covered in dirt and in grime, and she's totally not interested. You have to chase her into the bath or into the shower. And so at that age, it's pure beauty that shines through. And here too, says Rav Zadel, the Torah is stressing to us that even though Sarah was a beautiful woman, many, many more times, says the Gemara, than even Avishag HaShunamis, she related to that beauty with the interest of a 7-year-old and chose to focus on things more important to her. This is the way Sarah Imenu carried herself. Of course, we find out that she passed away and her husband now had to be involved in looking for a kvura for her. And the Torah tells us, cover Avram that Avram buried Sarah. And Reb Chaim Soloveitchik Zatzal, the famous Reb Chaim, pointed out that when we note that Jews and non-Jews need to be buried in separate cemeteries, it follows that if someone were accidentally buried in a non-Jewish cemetery, that would make him a meis mitzvah. So Rav Shechter Shalita pointed out that there's a reason for this differentiation. He quoted a Tosas in Masechta Nazir, who notes the difference between Adam and Ha'adam. Tosas notes that Atem Karuyim Adam, the nation of Yisrael, is referred to as Adam, Ve'en Umos Ha'olam Karuyim Adam. However, says Tosas in Nazir, they are included in Ha'adam. The nations of the world can be Ha'adam. Why is there a difference? So the reason, says Rav Shechter, I believe in the name of Rav Soloveitchik, is that as a nation we treat everyone with respect. All of Am Yisrael are included in the status of Adam. That is to say, even if the Kohen Gadol is dealing with Yom HaKippurim, and he is left in an environment that is not positive, that is to say, the Meis Mitzvah is left out on the street, and the Kohen Gadol, the most important Jew on Yom Kippur, the most important day of his job, has a job to do. He cannot leave the job to the side. The Kohen Gadol must be Metame himself. That's what it means to be an Adam, as opposed to the nations of the world, which only focus on Ha'adam, those who are given significant stations in life for whatever perceived reason. Hollywood, Ha'adam, only the people who have, as opposed to those who don't. And that's why when we see somebody in that situation, that is what sets us apart. And that's what it means to treat everyone as a significant Adam. And that's the unique status, said Rav Shechter to us, of Am Yisrael. It sets us apart in life and even in death as well. The bulk of the parasha deals with Eliezer's trip to find a wife for Yitzchak. And of course, as it begins, Eliezer argues and states, "Ulai lo soveh isha l'aleches acharai el aretz hazos." Maybe the woman will not agree to follow after me to this land. And Rashi explains that Eliezer had a daughter, and Eliezer wanted to make a shidduch between that daughter and Yitzchak. And Avram told him that that was going to be impossible because Yitzchak was a baruch, and Eliezer's daughter was from an aror, ve'ein aror mizdavig bebaruch. The two don't match. And then Avram sends Eliezer anyway to do the mission that Eliezer wanted to fail at. So how could Avram Avinu trust Eliezer? What was he thinking? The late great Rav Elia Svei Zatzal explains that Eliezer was clearly so aware of his role in life as Eved Avram that once his shidduch idea was rejected, he could be trusted to carry out his duties fully. He understood that he was Eved Avram, and so he begins his story with a caveat when he goes into Besuel's home. He begins by saying, Eved Avram Anochi. In fact, throughout the parak, he's never identified by name. His ability came from an awareness of who he was, an acceptance of what each of the kids needed, both his daughter and his master's son, and his firm desire to do right by all of them. That type of anava, says Rav Elia, is refreshing. it also would probably help us as we look for what is our goal in life and how we set them for ourselves. What are we looking for? Torah continues that Eliezer set up a test. It'll be that the girl that I ask her to let me drink. Now, why was this water test enough to prove that Rivka was going to be the proper wife for Yitzchak? Why was Eliezer so convinced? Maybe he needed some other form of proof. Maybe something else would have been needed. It's a pretty serious choice, this marriage thing. So Reb Chaim Visker Zatzal, the Rosh Yeshiva Beis HaTalmud, explains that sometimes, by great people, simple actions are indicative of deeper convictions. So this was the case with Rivka, and this was the case with Rivka and the water test. It's reminiscent of a quip of Reb Chaim Shmulevitz Zatzal, who noted that he would rather hear small stories about big people than big stories about small people. The small stories that we tell sometimes have the ability to give us a wealth of information in what exactly we're supposed to learn. But the Chalashko, so the Pasuk says that she finished giving him to drink, Vatomer gam ligmalecha eshav, I'll also give to your camels. Now why wasn't Eliezer concerned that Rivka might have chesed as a paradigm, but that she wouldn't have the right hashkafa? Why wasn't she concerned in that regard? So Leikari Rav Michal Feinstein Zatzal explained that when Eliezer saw her chesed, he knew that even if her hashkafa needed tweaking, she would, using her towering midas hachesed learned from Yitzchak, and endear herself to him and to his way of life in order to be able to grow from him. Indeed, this is certainly something that did wind up happening in their relationship. And it certainly highlighted one of a number of paradigms of marriage that exist in Chazal. So he comes into the house, Vayusam lefanav lechol, and Eliezer is given the food to eat. Vayomer lo ochal ad im dibarti divara. I can't eat until I spoke my words. Now, why is Eliezer rushing? Why couldn't he eat first? So the late Manal Ruchni of Yeshivas Kol Torah in Yerushalayim of Gedalia Eisman Zatzal noted that Eliezer saw that this was a moment of opportunity. And when moments of great opportunity come up in life, we need to grab them and maximize them, not to let those moments slide by. We rushed to make sure that we grab every single moment of opportunity so that the moment doesn't close on us. Anyway, Eliezer is successful, and he comes home and with Rivka. He finds Yitzchak coming back from the Be'er Lachai Ro'i, and Rashi explains that Yitzchak had gone there to bring Keturah to his father. Now, why was Yitzchak involved in a shidduch for his old father when his father was busy in a shidduch for him? So Rav Moshe Wolfson Shalita, the great Mashgiach of Torah Vadas, the Rav of Emunas Yisrael, explained that Avram was a man of chesed, and Yitzchak's primary strength was gevura. Similarly, we find Beis Hillel's strength is chesed, and Beis Shammai's gevura. Avram held like Beis Hillel, and Beis Hillel Paskin's pruravu is fulfilled when one has a boy and a girl. Avram had a boy and a girl, Yitzchak and Bakal. And so therefore he felt he had fulfilled the mitzvah, and he needed to take care of Yitzchak. It was time for him to take care of Yitzchak's chiyuv first. But Yitzchak held like Beis Shammai, and Beis Shammai holds pruravu is fulfilled with two sons. And therefore, since Yishmael was born before Bris Milah and was a ger, Avram had not fulfilled the mitzvah in Yitzchak's opinion, and so he set out to take care of his father first. Hence, Yitzchak ba mibo le'be'er lechai roi. And in the end, the Torah tells us, Vayibiyah Yitzchak o'al ha'sarah imo, that Yitzchak brought Rivka to the tent of Sarah, his mother. And Rashi explains that the same miracles concerning the candle, the challah, and the cloud that were present when his mother was alive returned when Rivka joined him. And the Medrash describes the order very differently. Instead of putting the order as candle, challah, cloud, the Medrash places the cloud before the dough, and finally, as something about a candle. And so why are these symbols important? And why does Rashi ignore the Medrash's addition of a fourth idea, that the doors of the tent of Sarah Imena were always open wide? And why are why is the order reversed? So Rabbi Yehuda Leib Amital, Zecher Tzadik Livracha, the towering pillar of Yeshiva Har Etzion noted that each miracle was significant. The candle symbolizes the idea that if there's real Kedusha in the home on Shabbos, then Shabbos influences the whole week. But if there's no Kedusha during the week, that seems to indicate that Shabbos isn't being imbued with the proper celebration and sanctity. As far as the dough is concerned, the dough symbolizes the idea that having dough to spread around is not dependent on one's wealth, but rather on one's goodwill, and therefore, that and the doors are really one and of the same, the necessity to spread around holy things. The cloud symbolizes the idea that each household needs to have a spiritual purpose, something beyond the basic maintenance of the household, some spiritual goal to which it can aspire. Now, when it comes to the order, Rashi lists the miracles from smallest to greatest. First, one has to have the basic mitzvos, like Shabbos. Then you have to have mitzvos bein adam l'chavero. And finally, there needs to be a lofty goal, a cloud, that one aspires to in life. The Medrash lists the miracles in the order of the actual realization. Since she had a superior spiritual purpose, right, with the cloud, thereafter there was dough. And finally, when Shabbos finally came around, the phenomena followed as far as that was concerned. This is Rav Amital's understanding of the greatness of our Imahos. Finally, I want to close this week with a mention of the Haftorah. Haftorah begins by recognizing David HaMelech's challenge. When he got old, they tried to cover David HaMelech up with clothing, and the clothing wouldn't warm him. Now, why would the clothes not warm him in his old age? So the Gemara in Brachos on Das Samach Beis Amid Beis already tells us that when someone is callous with clothing, the clothing doesn't protect him. David HaMelech had cut off the corner of the clothing of Shaul HaMelech's clothes, and thus he was punished when his own clothes didn't serve to protect him. But Rav Aaron Cutler's Atzal added that if it could happen in regards to clothing, where a person can be callous, so then the things don't protect him, it's certainly going to be true in regard to mitzvos. When we learn issues, and we see it as not relevant to our lives, this too is Basel Chol Davar. And so therefore we need to double down and recommit, and find and make the connections to relevance in our Torah study. We have responsibility in life. Our life needs to be something that is guided. And that guidance has to come from our Torah HaKadosha. And if we make it our business to be guided in a holy and appropriate way, we can overcome any sort of challenge. Certainly last Shabbos we were met and beset with a tremendous amount of challenge. And for it, we mourn together with the people in Pittsburgh and the people around Am Yisrael. May HaKadosh Baruch Hu bench us with the opportunity to see Nechama, ki hu bala Yeshuos, hu bala Nechamos. And may we get to the ultimate Nechama, when it is declared that Bila Hamavis la Netzach, Umacha Hashem Elokim Dima me'al kol panim, with the coming and the opportunity to Yom Shekulo Shabbos Umnucha, a Shabbat Shalom to all.